Blog Talk Radio.
He is jealous for me. Love like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us, oh.
By the grace in his eyes, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Amen. We thank you always for the chance to come and be with us on this afternoon. I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. Just want to just thank each and every one of you just for being and supporting the show. Most of all, I just want to just take time to just say thank you and for your support, for your prayers, and all that we are doing here at Harvest New Life Church. Sometimes the task is not as easy as we think it should be, but we declare by the word of God that even as we continue to move forward, God has already made a plan for our lives. And even as he makes the plan for our life, we continue to go forth through everything that God has called us to do. Just want to take some time to just let you know that there has been some incidents that happened along the way, of course, of the holiday. We want to pray for a young 4-year-old girl by the name of Kaylin. We want to make sure that her condition in her body, because of an accident that she was in, that the swelling in her body will go forth and that she will be healed from whatever the issue she had been doing. And I thank each and every one of you for what's going on in the body of Christ. And we continue to just bless in the name of Jesus that we can have this healing on this young girl. In the name of Jesus, that we continue to be faithful to Christ in everything that we're praying for her on. Well, as always, there's a little disturbance in here, and so I'm going to kind of work around the disturbance of what's going on as we continue to move forth in this show. You know, there's always some hindrance and some things that's taking place to try to stop the word of God from coming forth, but a little stagnant in the broadcast is trying to come in and just trying to hinder us a little bit. But let's continue to move forward. You know, it's sometime when we get into the radio, we get into this station, it's always some sort of hindrance. It's in the presence to try to stop us for what we're doing. The mics are either messing up or the station is not staggering right in the right direction. It's just something. But, Lord, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We declare by the word of God that even as we go forth, you put your hand on this station and you declare the word of God according to the Spirit. And, Father God, every outside force and every soothsaying spirit, Lord, I loose it in the name of Jesus. Every foul voice that kind of come down against that which you had created in this house and on this station for your people to have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say concerning your kingdom. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to be with us on this course and this time that even as the word continues to go forth, we will realize and understand that it's through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. We've been dealing with the actual 10 laws of the kingdom. Basically, when you deal with the 10 laws of the kingdom, we're going to mix it a little bit. We're going to take it out of any content of what's already originated in with the 10 commandments of on Sinai. But we're going to move it around in such a way that it'll bring some more revelation to you in terms of how God presented and planned for these laws to be within you if you're going to enter into the presence of the kingdom. Now, we look at the Ten Commandments. We look over in the book of Exodus, Mount Sinai, chapter 20. We see the law coming forth. And we look at Deuteronomy 5. And we see some of the things that's taking place in terms of the commandment, what God has declared. And we're going to take number one, but it's a few we're going to pick out, and we're going to deal with this afternoon. Because we're really going to have to know, if we're going to be successful in what God has for us in the kingdom, we got to know the laws that he has put in place. And with those laws he has put in place, God has decreed a plan that no weapon formed against him has got the ability to prosper. The first commandment tells us over in the book of Exodus, over in the book of Deuteronomy 5, which we're going to be, and we're going to be talking from that point, over in the book of Deuteronomy, if you turn your Bible over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're going to go through the process of the commandments that God has given to them when they came into the land, the Ten Commandments. And we're going to deal with it as a straight shot of 10 for right now. We're going to add on some things. We're going to let you understand how we break these commandments out and what they really mean to those who never studied the commandments and really understand that the commandments don't save you. Am I talking to anybody? But they're designed for you to walk in order if you're going to be a part of the kingdom. Now, the blood saved us. Now, Jesus said on his birthday that when he was born, that he came in, that to us a child is born and a son is given. And he should carry the government on his shoulders. We read that in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and 6. We see the process of 6 and 7 is to go through. But let's move on and look at these 10 commandments. The first commandment says, thou shalt not worship any other god. Now, that's a strict word that's coming from the kingdom, as we get to break that a little bit. We're going to deal with that also through the course of this study on tonight. And the next chapter, in the verse 2, the second commandment says, thou shalt not worship idols. let's make sure we kick out notes, because we're going to come back to these things, and we're going to talk about it a little bit in terms of how God is dealing with this, in terms of how he wants us to be as being men and women of God, to walk to the laws of his kingdom if we're going to be a part of the kingdom. Do not misuse God's name. In other words, this is in the NIV verse, but it said don't use the word thy God in vain. I think I was talking with a pastor here about a couple of days ago, and we were dealing with the process of how people in the ministry and how they come into different churches, not varying or straining anybody to go out of any ministry, of not giving anybody any license to disband their leadership. But we know that sometimes when we get tired of whatever God is doing in our life and trying to correct us, the first thing we want to use is the commandment 3. We want to misuse it. God, the Lord told me. Well, no, I don't know what the Lord told you, but sometimes you misuse this word in such a way that you take heed or leadership on trying to get out of what God is trying to keep you under, not to subject them to that particular individual, but to show you there's some things in your life and some discrepancies in your life that you need to get out the way. Your angerness, your bitterness, when you open your mouth toward other men of God and other people in the ministry, that you need to know how to close your mouth and continue to do what God calls you. That's one of the reasons some of us have ailments in our bodies now, because we keep on running our mouth like a flapjack and talking about other people that we ought not to talk about. And we need to keep those things to ourselves and take everything to supplication and prayer to the Lord. Now, it says in the fourth chapter, in the fourth one, fourth commandment, excuse me, he said, keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, there's a lot of controversy about the Sabbath day and how you got the seven-day Adventist, but I'm going to tell you something about that. A lot of them men and women of God are some very faithful and strong men and women of God in the kingdom. We're not going to deal with that too much, because I'm not in the position of badgering or putting anybody down. If that's what they feel they need to do in terms of the Sabbath day, which is the Old Testament, then, you know, let's do that, because Jesus did work on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, he did more healing on the Sabbath than he did on the Saturday. He did more work on a Sunday than he did on a Saturday. So I don't dishonor anybody who have services on Wednesday, services on Thursday, services on Friday. Matter of fact, 7 days a week. It really don't bother me whether you have it that way. But let's not get to the point where we get into what you call tradition and man-made religion. You know, it's a man of God who's doing a great work over at Victory Outreach. That brother goes 7 days a week, if I'm not mistaken. And they moving over there, because it goes to show you miracles can happen any time of the week or any time of the day or any hour. It goes on and says in the fifth verse, and which is one of the strongest verses, honor your father and your mother. Now, he talks about this verse very strong. If you can't honor your father and your mother, how can you go out and have anything in the law of this land in terms of got to deal with rules and regulations? So if you're going to beat it to the household, if you're unobedient to the household, you can't beat it out. You can't be obedient outside the household. But it's a funny thing when we think about that. Honor your mother and your father. We'll disband the ones who brought us into the land, or brought us into the earth, but we'll go out for the money greed of what we need, and we'll obey the things on our job. But we'll come home and discredit our parents, our fathers. We'll discredit them, even in relationships. We'll go to our jobs, but we'll come home and we'll disband our husbands. We'll disband our wives. We'll do all kinds of things we're not supposed to do. But then we'll still declare by the word of God that we're men and women of God. Yeah, I know everybody goes through something. But we got to understand one thing. If you're going to walk according to the kingdom of God, then you got to understand the laws and rules and regulations and commandments that he had put in place. Now, those of you who have been with us in the book of Deuteronomy, if I flip back to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to start right there on honor your father and your mother. And the Lord brings a word because he is the father, and he's bringing them into the land over here in the book of Deuteronomy 8. And he talks about in Deuteronomy 8, he said, all the commandments I command thee this day shall you observe. Now, this is the same thing. Observe the very things that God has put in the land, that you may have the wealth and everything he commanded for you to do. It goes over in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 2, verse 2, excuse me, and thou shalt remember all thy, which the Lord thy God has led thee in these 40 years. Now, when you're going through turbulence time in your life, as they went out here in the 40 years in the desert, it's because of their rebellion. When you get stuck in a situation, not honor those who have leadership or those who have authority over you, then you're going to run into a lot of problems. Matter of fact, if you see a sign say 35 miles an hour school zone, and you so much in a hurry to get to what you got to get to, and you're willing to break the law and put lives of little innocent children in jeopardy, then you deserve to get what's coming to you. You deserve the reprimand that's coming at you, because the law clearly states, and the word of God does declare, that we ought to learn how to have patience. And then we have to let patience have its perfect work. I mean, we got to be commanding, and we got to be understanding to the point we got to know how to manage our time. that every time we get out the house, we ain't got to run up and down the street and disobey the laws. And then when we get a ticket, we want to start crying about what takes place. Well, you disobeyed the law. Or we go to our jobs and we do something on the job with the supervisor who was there, who's been given the authority over us, that we may continue to be in that workplace and to govern the laws and rules or regulations in that building. And we continue to get outside of those rules. And then when we come under reprimand, we get upset and get mad. Well, the Word of God says the same thing here in the book of Deuteronomy 8. He says it over there in the second verse. He says, I should remember all thy ways, which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, some want to be educated scholars say, well, you're talking about the commandments. No, these commandments deal with you as of right now. You got commandments in the land of which you live in. You got rules and regulations in your house, even as you be married, as a man or woman of God is married. I'm talking about married folk right now. When you take the oath of a covenant, you say, the death do you part. Now, even though you may have some red buttons going on in World War III and a half, but you got to understand in the midst of your marriage, you got to know how to be celibate to the point that you got to bring that thing back into play because it's God's commandment. Now, me, as a man of God and who I am, now my daughters ain't going to go out there and get involved with somebody, hopefully, and I pray, that's going to treat them outside of the way their father treated them. Because the commands in this house is that I've declared that my daughters ought to treat everybody with respect. My sons ought to treat every woman with respect. And if they don't think they can do that, then they ought not to get in that relationship. But isn't it funny how we continue to, we want to get with somebody who got something, but we don't look in the inside and see what they got inside. But we look at what they got on the outside. Now, I don't want to get into preaching to that. But Deuteronomy makes a very strong statement about the process of how even we honor our father and our mother and those who have leadership over us, we need to understand that it first starts in the home. Your father and your mother are there for a reason. Those mothers and fathers who are young children who don't have a father in the household, those young mothers who don't have a husband in the household, okay, then we need to try to get ourselves together and go back and examine what took place. And if it took place already, you divorced, you're walking in divorce, then we need to understand one thing. How do I get myself to position to play both sides of the field? Because it's not going to be easy. You work hard all day, then you got to get the kids out of school. There's nobody to help you out. Well, we got to go back to our lives and see the decisions that we made, you know, that wasn't critical. Whether you was a man or woman of God, had a husband who was really abusing you, or you was a woman who was abusing the man, or just running out there in the streets with everything to look right on the other side. And then it caused some things to happen in your life. If you can't control some of those foul spirits that's in you, and know how to pray before God, that you may be delivered of whatever it is that's calling you to follow under these opposite commandments God has given you, to be able to have the wealth that you need in the land, and the ones who have leadership and ownership over you, then you're going to have a problem. Disciplinary is a problem. Let me show you something right here. One of the golden laws of righteousness is success. Understand what I'm saying? It's caused with the social help of being the truth of total success. Now, we're talking about the truth of total success. Deal with the book of Matthew 6 and 33. Y'all have got me off on a whole other level right here. I'm totally off the chart right now, but I'm going to move on this for a minute because somebody needs to hear this. God is in change. Anything that refuses to change will die. Righteousness is gain. Am I talking to anybody? Quality is character, and quality is offering. Quality in character, quality in offering. Contentment in performance. Now, listen to what I'm saying when I say this. Contentment in performance, and both are important. We know this. Between the two, character comes first. If you don't got a character about a way of how you take care of your business, integrity about how you handle yourself as being a man or woman of God, and raising your children with that same character, this is one of the reasons the high rate of divorce is so big right now. There's no character and there's no integrity in the heart of the man or the heart of the women. Now, some say, Pastor, well, how can you say that? Well, I'm going to say it whether you like it or not, because some of the truth has got to be told. There's not some character in some pastors out there. There's not some character in some women out there, some men out there, some of our children out there, some of our young adults, because we failed to go by the rules and regulations according to what it says over in the commandment number 5. Now, when we look at the commandments, we see that commandment 1 through 5 deals with the process and how you should honor God. Let's think about it. God said, don't bring no other God before me, don't have no idols before me, don't misuse my name, and keep my Sabbath day holy. And he says right there in the 5th one, he says, look, honor your mother, your father. Now, he goes down to the 6th verse, the 6th commandment. He said, don't murder. He's talking about you. And he told you how you should honor him through 1 through 5. But now he gets to the 6th verse, he's talking about you. Do not commit adultery. Come on, somebody.
you're in a covenant, and if you don't think that covenant is going to move the way you need to move, don't get involved with lustful and adultery feelings. Be led by the Spirit, that God will have whatever he needs for you to be able to be held up to the point of accountability. Don't steal. Don't cover your neighbor's wife. Don't your wife cover your neighbor's husband. Don't be going out there doing things you ought not to do. This is called some character. This is called integrity about a person. Don't lie. Don't be out there saying things you ought not to say. You know the word of God says every man that lies, every woman that lies, got their place in the lake of fire. Do not covet. The law of humility is learning the renewals of how you should understand that it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 that any man be in Christ, these laws apply to you. The laws and rules of race, listen, of the kingdom apply to you. Now, I'm a little unorthodox about how some things go in ministries right now because that's a lot of rebellion in the body of Christ. Look, my job as a man of God is to teach you to walk according to the course of the kingdom. My job is not to come to the church or come to the house or the building or the mortar and stone to look at if it's some kind of cathedral of praise to the point that I got to honor the building. Now, if people come into my house, if people come into the house that God has given me authority over, then there's some rules we have in the house. If yet those rules don't apply to you to the point that you can come under that govern, then, you know, I'm not going to hold you to the point to put a ring around your neck. I'm going to bless you when you come and talk with me, and I'm going to send you on your way. I'm going to believe that God got another place for you because, you know, you're created in the image of God. If there's a mistake you feel you made in that ministry, the way you are, and you need to go out and find somewhere, your time is up there, then go be obedient to the point that say, hey, look, Pastor, I'm going to write a letter to you. I'm going to sit down with you, and I'm going to talk with you. I believe my time is up here. It's been a good run. I believe I learned a lot of things under your ministry, but I believe God has moved me to another plateau. Don't get all upset, especially us. Because sometimes we get to the point we've been led around by the ring of our nose too long. We get upset about everything. We get mad about everything. And yet sometimes you got to know how to bring your temper under point to it can be controlled. I heard a young man, I was talking to one of the pastors who's really getting some work done in his ministry, and I heard a brother say something about backlash. No, that's the way your mind's thinking. No, you know how to be able to think about evil about anything. If God releases you to do something, don't worry about what the backlash is going to be. If the man of God who's in that house says something about you because you're leaving, maybe you didn't do things in the proper way when you left, and maybe things wasn't right. But don't get mad at him because he keep order in his house. And if you ain't following under the jurisdictional order of that house, then maybe you need to get yourself together. What does the word of God say? It ain't might not be the one. It might be the pastor in place. There's some good pastors out there. I'm a good pastor. And I believe that God is, I'm God sent. I believe I'm anointed. I believe I got a prosperity, the delegation in my life. And this is what I do. But there are some areas in some of the sheep that come into the door that feel as though they don't want to listen or understand what the word of God is speaking to in the spirit, to the point that now they get to the point that they feel they want to disobey all the laws and all the rules and regulations of their house because there's no character. That was a bucking spirit when you came in there anyway. So whether it be backlash, the backlash may be because of your hard-headedness, because you went into the house with a negative thought of thinking about things anyway. You went in and think that you can do more than the man of God who we put in place. It's like sometime on the jobs. You got a good job and you're making good money, but now you want to take the boss's place because you're not satisfied in what they got you. At least you got a job and you're working. If there's a position for you to be moved up, then pray to the Lord about that he'll give you favor. But don't go in ridiculing the one that God has in authority in that particular job or that particular position. If God's going to move him out, then the word of God does declare, I turn the heart of a king as I see fit. In other words, I'll move the men of God the way I need to move them, not the way you need to move them. So when we look at the 10 laws of the kingdom, we think about some things. And I want to run something down to you as we think about that. We look at the golden law of righteousness, which brings success. We understand that. The parallel of the universe begins in the spirit. When we talk about the execution about the book of James, walk therein. Show me a man that says he has faith and no works, I show you a man is dead. In other words, when you go out and you proclaim that you're a man and woman of God of Christ, you don't need to get into competition with anybody. Let your light so shine. Am I talking to somebody? The law of harvest, sowing and reaping. You don't plant no seed, you don't get no seed. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah, I already got somebody feeling upset already, but I'm a preacher to you. The law of the season, which is the ride of the cycle. If there's something you're dealing with in your life and God bring you through the wilderness, be able to humble yourself to the point that God wants you to pray and be able to get back in track with him. We're talking about some rules and regulations of the kingdom. How you get through some of the cycles and seasons that you go through and learn how to ride it out. Don't be complaining. Don't be crying about things. Just ask God which way do he want you to go. We got to understand this. The law of change brings is the righteousness of God with you and in you. The law of perseverance to mission, to have a mission, to have some kind of the value of the vision that God has given you. Like he gave to Habakkuk. We read in the book of Habakkuk, we see Habakkuk complaining all the time. Why does it seem like all the wicked people got it going on? God said, look, you got to worry about that. Look, write the vision on the wall and make it plain. No, we want to get. We want to put our mouth on somebody. We want to say something because we want to get back. That's that spirit that we have in us. That's that stuff we want to say something about somebody because it makes us feel good inside. So we begin to creep behind backs and say all kinds of naughty things about people we ought not to say. But yet we claim to say we men and women of God. No, the devil is a lie, him and his mother and his sister-in-laws. All of them are lie. And we got to believe and declare by the word of God that if God called us in the mission to do a work, then as kingdom commandments, as men of God in that position, that you got to walk in authority of. Matter of fact, when you understand that Romans 8, 9, and 10 talks about the confession of your mouth through salvation is brought, then you got to realize there are some commandments that God is trying to get in you. Because when you're coming out of the wilderness, you don't know everything about the commandments. You don't know everything that you need to do according to the kingdom. So that's why you need to get under somebody that can help you move in that direction, to help you shake off that very old crust that's on you, that you may have the righteousness of God, that you may receive the very success that God has in store for your life. Now, we got to think about the success that we have in our life. Anytime you follow the rules and regulations and working hard under the authority of God and you got him backing you up, it doesn't matter how bad your hard times may be. God is right there to be with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But one thing about us as men and women of God, we want to think the devil is always doing it. Ain't the devil always beating you up? Sometimes God is trying to get you to, you know, stop bumping your head. He's trying to show you in a different route. Look, go pray. Believe that I'm with you in the midst of your storm, that I'm always going to be there. Don't treat other people negative. Don't get mad and get all out of line and get discombobulated and get all inverted. Now, just believe that God is going to do it. We're talking about some principles here. Now, one of the parallel universes beginning in the spirit, it says, what is seen is influenced by the things unseen. Now, think about it. The things that are seen is influenced by the things that are unseen. That's a word, because I'm trying to get you to see something here. What you see through the perception of your eyes is limited. But what you see through the perception of your mind through Christ is unlimited. In other words, the kingdom has no limitations. It's as far as you can believe, as far as you can have, it can happen. Whether it be in health, whether it be in healing, whether it be in prosperity, whether it be in joy, whether it be a better marriage, whether it be better for your children. If you can see it, then you can believe it. If you can believe it, you can conceive it. It means you got to understand in your life that when you're going through trials and tribulations, you got to keep the vision intact. You can't look at the very parallel which is around you. You got to look at the vertical, meaning your mind and your eyes, your ears, your perceptions cause you to fall short of what God really has in store for you. And he says it all over Jeremiah 29:11. If you can't understand that God said a plan is greater than your plan, and he says over in Isaiah 53, I believe, I need to go over there and get that Isaiah 53 while I'm going over there. If you can't believe the plan of God that he has for you, then something's wrong, because you got to get your vision in track. Now, he says over in Isaiah 55, he said, for my thoughts and your thoughts, excuse me, that little stagger there, he said, for my thoughts and your thoughts, my ways and your ways, said Lord. That means he talked about some depth between you and him. Your little two-watt brain can't even fathom the things that God has in store for you. He goes over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you look over 1 Corinthians around that second verse, that second chapter, he talks about that for the things that are seen or unseen, for the things you see is temporary. In other words, when you look at the word of God and you declare the word of God in your life, and you begin to think, guess what God has saved me? He said, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Now that it enters in the heart of any man, the things that God has in store for you. I'm just all over the place in this message. Because when you look at the commandment, you start violating those laws, those rules and regulations, you're going to have some problems in your life. You might as well face it. Even as you begin to disband the rules and regulations in the natural man, there's going to be some repercussions. There's going to be some reprimands when you disobey the rules and regulations of your job. There's going to be reprimands that are going to come at you. And so in the man, in the kingdom of God, there are golden rules and laws that's put in place. That if we follow those laws, we follow those rules, we'll understand and realize that God has set a format for us according to Jeremiah 29:11. The plan that God has for you supersedes every thought of your natural man. He just told you over there in Isaiah. We just said that. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts and your thoughts, my ways, your ways. God talks about something so far from you that you can't even understand. He comes right back and tell you and perfects that thing over in 1 Corinthians 2. And over there, that ninth verse, he said, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. This thing can even enter into your heart, the plan, the thoughts that I have for you, for those who love me. He believes that. And you got to believe that. Because God said, my word will not go back void, but it will accomplish all that and therein. God will never speak something he's going to go back on. Man will lie, but God won't lie. How do you find that, Pastor? Well, Numbers 23:19-21. Am I God that I shall lie? Or am I son of a man that I shall have to repent? I've been given a commandment to bless. I can't reverse my word. In other words, the seed is good. The ground that it's sowing through got the problem. See, we the ground. We got a problem because we all up in that Galatians 5. We got all that envy, that strife, all that malice inside of us. But yet we proclaim that we've made a will of God. I hear somebody in the spirit say, this brother needs to be quiet. No, what you need to do is lock your lips down and you need to hear what the word of God has to say. Because you're probably one of the very ones who don't want to hear this word tonight. And that's probably the reason you're dealing with things in your life right now. Because you're too critical of the things that you're hearing. Because you can't hear right now because you never could hear. That's why things ain't moving the way they need to move with you. Because you're too busy putting your mouth on folk. Keep your mouth off of people. Learn how to pray and get on your knees and get your household together. And if your household's together, then you see God move in the righteousness what he called you to do. But you just can't keep on running around trying to hobo your way into the kingdom by your educational understanding, belittling people who look like they on the below you, and you think you're ever high. Man, God will tear you down and rip you like paper. But you got to understand and realize in the midst of what God is calling you in this season, it's a preparing season. That's why he's taking you through what he's taking you through, because he's going to rip out all that old stuff in you and get you to be a new man. He's trying to get you to understand in your life in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he wants you to be a new creature. And when those people who come around you, that dislike you, that don't want to be with you, put that special kind of scuba gear on and go down in the lake of forgiveness, in that lake where he threw everything away that he tells us, I threw it in the sea of forgiveness. They got that special scuba gear. They go down in the lake and get your problem and bring it back up to your face. You need to disband yourself from around those kind of people. You come into a new season. And that new season, 2014, is a season for you to prosper, for you to have the joy of God in your life and understand the rule and regulation of the golden rules of the kingdom. The Bible said, if I walk upright, Psalms 84:11, if I walk upright, then no good thing will God hold from those who walk upright. He says over in Psalms 89, I believe 84:39, he says, my laws, my rules, I will not alter. In other words, my commands, I will not alter. When God commands a word, it will not go back. It will not go opposite of what he said. Matter of fact, let's go over there to the book of Psalms 89:34, and let's look and see what the word of God says. For those of you got displacement and don't understand the word of God, and only want to go by your educational set, God says for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And sometimes the mysteries of the kingdom come through revelation. The Bible was wrote by those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The word of God does declare that you will do greater things. But we got too many textbook readers, too many scripture quoters in the body of Christ who read the word of God to the point but they have no revelation. You're just like a Pharisee because you have no kind of revelation to the point where God is trying to show you where you need to go. You only got the letter, but you don't have the spirit. Now, he says over in the book of Psalms 89:34, he said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the things that go forth out of my mouth. Well, he just said that in Isaiah 55:11. So forth the word that go forth out of my mouth will not come back unto me void, but it will accomplish all that therein. Know what it is saying. You got to believe it. In the midst of where you are, you got to believe God's word. In the midst of believing God's word, you got to be a man of integrity and character and walk in faith. And you got to understand the golden rules and laws of the kingdom of God. You got to understand the commandments, how to get along. The first five says get along with your fellow brothers. Learn how to take care of them, look over them. Don't always belittle them and put them down. Nobody's under your feet. Who gave you the right to put anybody down? If a man or woman of God comes to you and tells you at 60 years old they want to get a husband and they want you to pray for them, don't look at them like they're crazy. They need to go sit down and pray for them and get a husband. No, she ain't crazy, you crazy. Because the word of God says, is there anything too hard for him to do? Am I God that I should lie? If God made a promise to Sarah at her old age to have that child, guess what? He make the same promise to you to have that husband. See, we got too many doubtful people in the body of Christ that say they love the Lord, but they don't believe the very things that God and the power of God can do. My mother sits right there in the hospital bed, and I'm telling you, man, the woman of God is just a testimony. How she stayed on a respirator machine, and they said everything in her body was shutting down. They said, well, nothing working. For 6 months, she stayed in that condition. But, oh, boy, when the prayers begin to grow, when the saints begin to pray, and the power of God begin to move, all that stuff begin to loose. The respirator began to come off her body because she started breathing a little stronger. The very thing that she was in, what they call a coma, began to subside. Her function of her brain started fine. Her synapses started fine in the name of Jesus. Her heart started regulating where she didn't have to have a compression to help her breathe anymore. Her lungs started moving in the right direction. Everything started lining up according to the blood. And I'm declaring by the word of God, even as I speak right now, because she was a woman who kept the golden rules of the kingdom of God, and she believed that everything that she prayed for was going to come to full fruition. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a living witness, and I'm looking at a living witness sitting right there in front of me, seeing the things and hearing the things that God has told her for her to get her health and condition where she's in. I know that it's nothing too hard for God to do, but I'm telling you, when you weak and feeble-minded, and every little point that come at you hits you, and you run in the corner, you start running your mouth and ratting and raving, you got a problem. You need to get you some more faith. Matter of fact, let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. Let me show you something here in 2 Corinthians. And this word I'm giving you is a good word tonight because it deals with the golden laws of the kingdom. God is tired of you running around complaining about all the knots on your head. Do something about it. Don't be complaining to God about it. He gave you authority, so use it. If you don't know how to use your authority, give it to somebody to teach you how to use your authority. Now, it says over here, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, and I want you to hear this real good. And in the ninth verse, he said, but it is written that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the heart the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, a natural man, a person look at say, yeah, you're right, because you don't understand the fact of what God is telling you right there. Everything that's going on in your life that looks unbelievable is believable. Everything that you're going through that you think impossible is possible. The reason it hadn't took effect yet because you're still doing things in your life that you ought not to do. The word of God declares and decrees over in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, 11 and 23, he said, look, you need to examine yourself. There are some ways that's still not right about you. You're not loving your brothers and sisters like you ought to love them. That's the reason you're falling short of the things I have in store for you. And when you fall short of the things I have in store for you, this is a problem you have. And when he tells over 1 Corinthians in the second chapter in the 10th verse. But God has revealed them unto us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deepest things of God. Now, he told you right there. He said the same thing he said in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit that you won't feel the lust and the desires of the flesh, meaning your mind has got to be renewed according to Romans 12 and 2. You got to be transformed and changed. You can't just hobo your way into the kingdom. Like Paul told the brothers, this thing just start up in a corner somewhere. Now, it was through the revelation of God that this thing got them moving. He goes on in the 1 Corinthians, in that second chapter, in that 11th verse, he said, for a man knows the things of a man, save the spirit that's in him. See, that's the wisdom of man. Their education, their plaques on the wall, that's their voucher. But I'm telling you, a man or woman of God who walks in the spirit, listen to how he says this in 1 Corinthians, in that 11th verse. He says it just like this, 1 Corinthians 2, in 11, he said, for a man know the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him. Why would he say that? Because sometimes you think of yourself a man more than you ought to think. You don't understand that you put your pants and your dress on the same way everybody's put theirs on. Those who are females and males. You don't do anything no different than anybody else. But yet, because of degrees you have on the wall, because of your high prestige position, you done put yourself above everybody else and feel that you think you're better than everybody else. You done turned your nose down to the ones who are out in the street, the ones who are cracked out, the ones who are prostitutes, the ones who are going through lustful problems, the ones who are going through anger problems, the ones who are going to battles in their life, the ones who have sickness in their body. And you only want to get outside your home and go to hand out a flyer. The Bible talk about sowing and reaping. You got to sow some things in somebody's life. When you get it, you need to know how to run a race. That's why I say all the time, it's a difference between you running a 100-yard dash and running a relay. You can't do the thing by yourself. God's not just looking at you. You ain't the only one on earth. There's millions and billions of people out there. God has got a word in you that you go out and spread the gospel. Paul Christ couldn't do it all himself. Great man of God who passed on and went to the kingdom. But he got his keys to get in. Because of the work that he's done when he's here. He goes on and over in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter in the 12th verse. He says that now he has received not the spirit of the world, which we read over in the book of Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you now present your body as a living, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, because what you have through your commanding and your voice through what he says in Romans 10:8-9 is now you to come to a point of confession. So he says in the 12th verse, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are what? Freely given unto us of God. He says in the 13th verse, the things also we speak it, not of the words which man's wisdom teaches. Come on, somebody. You believe in world book, as I talked about. You believe in a man. You believe when you go to an operation letter of tape, you believe a man who wrote a book. You believe him. You believe a book that he read to cut on you. You let somebody go in you who read from a book. But you won't believe this book for your healing. Leave that alone. Because I hear the spirit riding up in that. Is there some controversy in that? For you so-called intellectuals who got your words all together, they want to say it like it's not supposed to be said. I'm going to say it like this. You're just going to have faith. God has given man the wisdom and knowledge to do things, but it's only the setup to get you to where you need to be. Take the surgery, but believe God for the healing. The man didn't do it. God orchestrated the plan through him that he know how to surgically go into you, remove out of you, or put in you what he needs to put in you to help you walk according to the kingdom of God. But somehow we done got off track. We look at our jobs, we look at our homes, we look at our cars, and somehow we think we're a little bit better than everybody else. No, I don't think so. We got to believe God, the golden rules of the kingdom. Learning how to have renewal of your mind. Learning to understand the laws of the parallel of the universe of the spirit. What is seen is influenced by what is unseen. If you don't see it, you can't believe it. It's a book that I read by George Burns called Power of the Vision. The brother got a couple. The brother got a, on the front of the book. The brother got some binoculars looking far beyond what his natural 20/20 vision can see, because he's trying to look over in somewhere through the Word of God. The binoculars just a representation of what the power of God can laser beam your faith to be. But if you ain't got no faith like a laser beam, guess what? You're going to fall. Because we understand the law of the harvest of sowing and weeping. We invest the grain in the ground according to Luke 6:38 and that 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, that we sow into the ground expecting the harvest. If you don't sow, you complain about where your money go. And this is the biggest thing we use in the body of Christ. As if the man got some kind of control over it. Well, I ain't going to sow over there because ain't no good ground over there. How do you know what the ground is over there? Because of what somebody told you? So you take your blessings and you throw it somewhere that look prosperous from your parallel point of view rather than your vertical point of view. God told you to go sow in something that doesn't look like nothing. And you got your own thought together. What you going to sow into? It might be a ministry that got two or three people in it. God, I want you to sow this $1 million into this ministry. I remember a pastor friend of mine was living down in Louisiana, and a man of God was having his service in a hotel. And he had about maybe 10 or 15 members in his hotel. The ministry just starting out. Don't tell me what God can't do. And when the man was in his ministry, he went on a Wednesday night service to take up the offering. And as he took up the offering on that Wednesday night, it was a couple who was traveling from out of California, I believe, was staying in that hotel and was getting ready to leave out that night, going back to California. And as they went in the back room praying for a miracle for God, they began to count the offering, and the man of God opened up a check. It was a check in there for $500,000. I say $500,000. And there was a letter in there with that check that said, when we get back to Burbank, California, give us a call, and we'll give you the other $500,000. Ladies and gentlemen, the brother and them got $1 million within 1 second. Within 5 minutes of taking the offering, it was, the church got everything they needed. And that brother is prospering beyond his wildest dreams because God has poured into that ministry. But those of you who ministries are struggling, unlike sometimes like mine, going up and down, look like it ain't never going to move, you got to stay faithful to the calling which God has called you. Don't worry about what men say about you. Don't worry about what men say about how you think you called. Don't let them put their education on you to make them think they feel they better than you. You believe God for what he said he's going to do in your life. And you move forward. And that education will look whatever he may be with degrees on his wall, if he think he better than you, then let him keep on being deprived and being fooled by that. If he think he's better than you by a piece of paper on the wall. I ain't got nothing against education. I got a degree myself. But I'm trying to get you to see something. God is calling you to an area of your life that you don't look at the parallel things around you. You look at the kingdom. God provides for you. And whatever God provides for you, it's going to come to fruition. Well, I tell you, well, I'm about to close this broadcast here. We're going to be dealing with the laws, the 10 laws of the kingdom again on this coming Monday. For those of you who want to come out and be with us on Sunday, you can go to the website, call the number for the locations we're going to be in, and we're going to have a great time. We'll be right back on the air again at 11 o'clock. Come down this Sunday and hear what the Word of God has to say. And I don't know how much more to say, how much this ministry and this radio station has been a blessing to a lot of those out there. We thank you for the calls. We thank you for the emails, those encouraging us to keep pushing forward despite of some of the people we feel out there. You know, any time you're doing something great for God, there's always going to be a group of negative people. And I always say it like this. You throw a rock in a pile of dogs, one of them going to holler. You let them get too close up on you, they're going to lick you in the face. So sometimes you got to keep people at a distance. And as you keep them at a distance, you realize and understand that your most vital information can't go to those because they don't need it, because they're too educational-minded. They don't have the spirit mind of what Christ has called them in the season that they're in, because that's where they're going to fall at, through their education. If they think their education is more than what God given, just like we read over in Corinthians, for man only knows the thing of a man, but no man knows the thing of the spirit, we understand that. For those who feel that they're above you, and think they're better, don't worry. Just like we talked about the story about Saul. He was on the throne, but God has already denounced him in the spirit. He had looked like if he was a king. He had looked like, don't be wrong now, he looked like he was a king. He had all the outside garments that appeared to be a king. But in the spirit, God has already denounced him and raised up a sheep boy out there who has stinky clothes on and rags on. God already raised him up in the spirit. And when the prophet Samuel came to talk to him and tell him, he said, is this the boy? God looked up on him and said, I don't judge a man the way man judges me. I don't look on the outside. I look at the heart. So when God look at you, or people look at you, don't see where you're going right now, don't worry. After a while, they'll see. Just keep moving. Let them keep on saying what they're going to say about you. But God's got a plan for your life. If he said he's got a plan for you, then you fall into the plan. Believe what God is going to do for you in your life where you are right now. Don't try to look at success far beyond to the point where God has already planned for you. You know, you follow his course, you follow his guidance, you receive what God has in store for you. You get out of line, then you're going to know it, because you're going to start bumping your head in the streets, and first thing you're going to do is start complaining about the knots on your head. I want to open up the law, the line for those who want to call in and who want to have prayer, just whatever is going on in your life. I don't care if you're dealing with diabetes. I don't care if you're dealing with cancer in your body. I don't care if you're dealing with back pains. I don't care if you're dealing with whatever it may be, all any kind of sickness, disease. I don't care if you're dealing with thyroid problems. I don't care if you got a heart condition. I don't care what you're dealing with. If you're willing to get prayed for and you want God to release some things out of your life, I declare by the word of God the time is now. And this is what it said. When Naaman went to the prophet and he looked at Elijah, Elijah didn't look like a man that he had what it take. But Elijah gave him one word, go dip. And that brother complained to a point that he left. And the servant of Elijah had to go ask him, if the prophet told you to go dip, go dip. My voice and the way I speak may not be appealing to most people. But I guarantee the words that I speak, if you look it up, everything lines up. My lyrics and the way I speak the word of God may not sound appealing to the people out in the arena, and I'm not worried about that. My job is to put it out there. Your job is to study and believe it. He told that brother to go dip. And that brother went to go dip. He said, the Jordan, is there many more rivers I can dip in other than the Jordan? Is there any more clean rivers? But he told him to go dip in the most, look back, unpurified place in that region. And when he went and did what the prophet told him to do, they said the brother went down one time. He getting up looking around, see if anybody's looking. He went down again. He looked around, see if anybody looking at him again. The brother went on one time. The brother went on two times, three times. By the sixth time he went down, they said the brother's skin would look like a baby's behind. His skin was so smooth. They said his skin would look like a hearse bar. He came out of that thing so smooth. So when you understand, because Elijah didn't come out and begin to wave his hands all around and give him all this stuff about da-da-da-da-da-da-da, raise his voice, he just obeyed the word of God. And my job is to tell you, if there's a sickness in your body, if you're dealing with diabetes, if you're dealing with kidney problems, if you're dealing with heart failure, or you've been through heart failure, respiratory heart failure, cancer, brain tumors, whatever you're dealing with, I declare by the word of God, if you open this line and you hear the word of God is going to flow out of it, that you may receive the healing that you need on this night. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for now to all the ones who heard. And, Father God, all the ones who had a hindrance to the word that you speak today, Lord, bless them anyway in the name of Jesus. But I declare the word of God to those who had an ear to hear, let them hear just what the Spirit of the Lord has to say in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God that every sickness and every disease got to come under the authority and under the power of the Most High God. I declare that it's got to line up according to the Spirit. Lord, I bind and shut down every soothsaying spirit, every negative foul thought in the name of Jesus, Father God. I'm actually going to the corridors of those sick units, Father God, and I begin to let your Spirit begin to move, Father God. Let it move up and down and all around. Let it convict and shut down every negative force that's in that house, every negative force that's in that very corridor, every negative force that's in the body of your people, Father God. I bind the spirit of diabetes right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the authority of God in the terms of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that I shut down every form of cancer right now in the name of Jesus. I bind every form in every area what got to do with any kind of cardiac disease in the heart of any individual. I shut down lupus in the name of Jesus. I shut down every authoritative disease that got a name that I don't even know how to name. And I command that it come under the power of the Holy Spirit. I shut down back pain in the name of Jesus. I call the spine to line up according to the Spirit. And Father God, I'm asking you, Father God, that surgery that woman of God is attempting to get, Father God, let her know that you can heal her, Father God, that she can be Lord right in the midst of you, Father God, and believe through the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit that spirit that's on her, Father God, if she can believe, Father God, that she will be healed, Father God. You say the man of God came through the city and they brought him out on cots and they began to lay him and they just touched a shadow of Peter when he walked through the house. I thank you, Father God, that he is healed in the name of Jesus. I command the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit that no weapon formed against the very words that I speak will have to prosper. Nothing will be able to stand. Bless the ministries, Father God, that's in a struggling condition. Bless them financially, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. I break the back of lack right now in the house of every individual under the sign of this word. Father God, I declare by the word of God, even under the Spirit, Father God, you begin to move in this new 2014 season, that Father God, you give them a buffered anointing, Father God, that you give them a double load in the name of Jesus, Father God, in their health and their strength and salvation that comes to the kingdom of God. I declare by the word of God that every marriage begin to line up according to the Spirit. I decree a word by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that every unauthoritative thought, every unauthoritative pattern in the life of every individual has got to come on the subject of the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that even as you look upon this young child, Father God, who is afflicted with this face wound, Father God, that you begin to heal her, Father God. Bring the swelling down in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare that it's got to line up according to the Spirit, Father God. Touch that young girl in every part of her body, Father God. Your word is declared to suffer every one of the young children that come under you to forbid them not as such of the kingdom of God. I declare by the Spirit of the Most High God that you begin to rub and smooth, massage the face of this young daughter, Father God, that you begin to heal her body, Father God, in every ailment that seems to try to take place to make this very infection or whatever it is in her body come together, Father God. I declare by the word of God that she be healed under the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit, and every cold and every negative flu form that's in her house, Father God, I command it to be doused. I command it to be shut down right now in the name of Jesus. I command and declare right now, Father God, that to you, Father God, everything and all things are possible. Father God, these things I don't even ask of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, because I know you're able to do it. These things I'm asking out of myself, but through you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bless every mother, Father God. I'm asking you to touch them in the name of Jesus, Father God. Touch every one of them, Father God. Touch the woman of God, Father God. Sister Robinson, Father God. Sister Johnson, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just a few to call out that your spirit can cover everything in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your healing, for your joy, for everything you have put upon in life on this day, Father God. I command by the word of God that has got to come to fruition. I'm asking you, Father God, every unprotected job, Father God, every mindset against every man that's coming against that family and that woman, God, who's trying to hold down that position, that they may feed their family, Father, I command you to come under the authority of the Holy Ghost. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare and decree by the power of the Spirit that it's got to come forth. It's got to come out. It's got to be shut down in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for your anointing. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your authority through the Spirit, Father God, that you have given unto me as being a man of God, that even as you begin to bless this ministry, the Harvest New Life Church, Father God, I thank you right now that it's moving forward. Father God, these things I never ask of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, I command and thank you, Father God, for giving me the blessing to be the mouthpiece of your kingdom. These things I'm asking, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that I called it to come forth. Father God, I put it into the third heavens to go forth, and it will not come back void, but it will accomplish everything and all that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Charles Ellis here at the Harvest New Life Church. I thank you for those who tuned in with us today. I thank you for those who have an ear to hear about the 10 laws of the kingdom of God, how we deal with some very specific points concerning the commandments, and some of the points that we broke down about the amplification of growth through the details. We understand what God has called us to do, that it is going to be amplification, there is going to be measurement, there is going to be overflow in the name of Jesus, shaking together, running over in the name of Jesus in the new 2014 season. I grab it and run with it right now in the name of Jesus. I declare this word to be good. For those of you want to be in contact with me, you can call me at 214-870-2146. Those of you who want to go to the website and see what we're all about, you can go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. That's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. God bless you and God keep you. I'm going to leave you with a word, as I always said, that the worship of God never runs dry. And we thank you for joining in with us and being a part of the show. Well, no callers today, but thank God for that, that those who had an ear to hear, they heard what the Spirit had to say. So, Father God, I thank you right now for just launching this ministry, launching this time of service with those individuals, Lord, who came on to be a part of the show. And I just ask you, Father God, if there wasn't no callers, there wasn't meant to be any callers. But I ask you, Father God, that you touch those who are hearing in the archives, those who will go back and review this message. I thank you for them right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare by the word of God that it has already been done. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen, 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 and amen.